Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Windows into Eternity, Standing Concepts of Ascension, which airs every Sunday night at 8:55 Pacific Time. So now, Ruhir, welcome, and thank you again for assisting us. And please, at your convenience, I'm ready for the questions.
All right. Okay. The first question comes from, female reader, and she asks, what's in your, as far as you can see, assess, is the function of menstruation? Is it like, you know, I mean, it's been revered and it's been reviled throughout the ages, but is it natural or not, you know, things like that.
All right. Menstruation as a need has become obsolete. In other words, whether you want to menstruate or not, that really is up to you. And whether you conceive children when you're not menstruating, as long as you have a uterus, that is also up to you. But it takes faith and it takes living at a higher level than what we have before. I have had multiple people in my classes ask me to remove their menstrual cycles simply because of the hardship that they have been giving them. And in those cases, we have done a blessing. And if it didn't manage the first time, then it managed the second time, but we stopped their menstrual cycles. Some of the masters in my classes have certainly on one day said, I no longer need this. When I want children, they will come in immaculately, and that was the end of the story. There are those who enjoy that rhythm of their body because it reminds them of the rhythm of the seasons, and it reminds them of the going within time of their months. For them, it is a blessing, and so they keep the menstrual cycle. But the children can enter the uterus, and pregnancy tests will not show up positive for some time then, because it is not done according to the usual hormonal fluctuations. But we have, for instance, in October, there was a sister when during one of the classes we assisted one of the beautiful, beautiful masters that came in as a little baby into her uterus that she's pregnant with. That's her second child that she has received here in the pod through Immaculate Conception. The other little boy is a wonderful delight to the whole pod, who all think they're his uncles and aunts. And for those of you that are new to my work, pod is what we call our classes. I'm not entirely sure why. The Ascended Masters told me to way back then to teach pods, and I never did ask them whether they were referring to peas in a pod or whale pods or whatever else it could possibly be. But we call them pods, so it's in our gatherings and what we call our classes. So that's how it goes.
Okay, but do you know, when I read the question, I had to think of this European mystic, actually she's Belgian, who I once read some information of, and she said that in her, well, as far as she could tell, that menstruation was really actually a distortion and a conditioning born of traditions of blood sacrifice and the idea that the female has to suffer, and that it's really a matter as simple as just becoming deprogrammed of it. Do you know anything about the source or origin of the phenomenon?
As you know, I don't know what other mystics or whomever is teaching, because I haven't read a book in about 10 years. But during the cycles of the fall, because the feminine is receptive, it was imperative to have menstrual cycles. Because the nature of the female polarity is to absorb, to take in, to be receptive. They would take in great amounts of density from those in their environment. The way that it was cleansed monthly was through the bleeding. So it was an imperative way to safeguard the exquisite pristineness of women in any way that it could when they were receiving a lot of the density.
Okay, but then...
So it served a very real purpose, is my point.
All right, well, that's clear. Although, of course, there were enough women who had that density as well, or am I sort of misunderstanding?
Then for them, too, it was a way to cleanse.
All right. Okay, well, that's fascinating. Next question comes... it's actually referring to Ring of Truth. I looked it up, what section she was referring to. It's on page 68-69. It's titled, Absorption of Life Forms Back into the Sea of Consciousness Will Cease. And there she quotes you. She says, you say, many bodies on Earth are empty and need to die, so there will definitely be many bodily deaths. And she's finding that rather controversial and wants to know what you are saying there.
Okay. So, the second death, which is the annihilation of individuation or identity, has very seldom been done by Mother other than large leaps of consciousness between cycles in which groups of beings had not earned the right to live because they weren't life-enhancing enough. So only those who had earned the opportunity for eternal life went on. So for them, the reality of death is removed. But, you know, death itself is at this point an illusion. But many bodies on Earth are empty and were empty and needed to die, so there will definitely be many bodily deaths. But the bodies that have souls in them will die only if their belief systems keep death's illusion in place. Now, let's take a look at what that means. You know, the lake of fire that's described, for instance, there's a piece in Revelations 20, verses 14 and 15, about that anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is that second death that refers to the annihilation of the souls. There are many scenarios in which those empty bodies in which life forms that were within them could not sustain life as the cosmos has moved up in what has been its massive ascension since February of 2005. Number one, they manifest the disease of cancer in their body or some other thing. They manifest it on purpose, or AIDS or something. Even though the disease is not real, the body thinks that it is, and so it will perish. A body that does not have enough life in it will also attract cataclysmic events around it for it to pass away. We've had a lot of deaths in sudden, you know, tidal waves and so on happen over the last years. A lot of people have passed. And that is because it was time for those bodies to be annihilated. There also are legions of angels working, but it is hard. This is not something that can be done just immediately because of how many are involved. It's multi-layered. Where, let's say there's a father with 10 kids that needs to take out life insurance before he passes on. If the soul has already left, angels are working that last piece of contract fulfilled of responsibility with children or wife or whatever to make their life easier is done. So there's that, to make sure the loose ends are tied up before the bodies leave. Then there is another large legion of angels that have been assisting to remove bodies out of the equation. In other words, they're there one moment, they're not there the next. This is not usual power that angels have, but this legion has been given this power by Mother. And then everybody's memories need to be changed. Let's say there's a wife beater somewhere, and she yearns for somebody that will be nice to her. Let's say there's a male somewhere that yearns for somebody that will be nice to him. His wife is horrific to him. All of a sudden, they can be orchestrated to be together when both the husband and wife that were so non-life enhancing are removed out of the equation, and you just put them together and you rewrite everybody's memories. This also is part of what is being done. But the percentage for that is smaller because it just entails so much more tampering with people's lives. Now, if there's anything I have not yet answered to here, if you'll just sort of tell me when we get back, but let's take a few moments break.
All right.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. Brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back to our show. We are always happy when you join us because it is you that makes these shows possible. So we're here. What would be our next area we want to look at?
Well, actually, it was still on the previous question because I'm not sure you really answered what it was getting at, namely that how can it be that there are soulless bodies walking around, and isn't that a bit controversial to make such claims that there is no soul in, like, bodies?
Well, the second death is not a new concept. It was written about quite extensively in many scriptures because since ancient times it has been recognized that there are times when beings have been given chance after chance after chance that it is necessary finally to have that individuation cease. Now, in most instances throughout the cosmos, the body will immediately be gone. In fact, it's a very painless situation. And extraordinary to see, because they disappear from the feet up. And as they disappear, there's this massive color display around them from the energy that's released that was tied up in form. Those are the more subtle forms. In the physical, much has been done to safeguard its, if you will, isolation. Things move slower traditionally in the physical. That's why the mother has now brought back bodies of pristine, incorruptible white magic that we've been discussing on multiple shows. And with them have come libraries of information, like the Isis material that we've written about in Opening the Doors of Heaven. And The Windows into Eternity is the book after Opening the Doors of Heaven that writes about the mysteries of the dove and the Qumara libraries. So the reason that she's brought this back is because matter has been so difficult to change. But that's because every non-enlancing being and his dog wanted to tamper with us because they knew that as the densest level of creation, it is us that will start as the pivot point to pivot all of creation back into ascension. So it is the nature of matter that it changes slower. Otherwise, those people would have disappeared in the streets. And, you know, controversial, well, controversial simply means that it doesn't fit any of their old paradigms. My tomorrow will not fit my today's paradigm. So I don't know what to say. My whole life is controversial.
Yeah, very good. Okay, next question. In your books, you've spoken of a reversal of the poles magnetically, I think. And the question is this what seers previously saw as but interpreted as a cataclysmic pole shift, or was there supposed to be a cataclysmic pole shift, but we sort of skipped that one?
The actual truth of it is, Rogier, that we didn't skip it. And this is how it went. I believe it was around October of 2005 that... No, it was before that. I would say it was maybe in the summer of 2005. The Earth did exactly what I had prophesied for some years would happen, but I had no idea really what I was talking about looking backwards. Retrospectively, I just knew it would happen. The Earth split. The higher, it's like your dream body, that while your physical body sleeps, the dream body goes and perhaps visits your mother in Portugal or whatever it does, right? Well, the Earth's dream body, if you will, split from her physical body, taking all of creation with it, and only those who volunteered to go back to the old Earth to live went in a very small group and lived on the old Earth. For us, 2 years had passed. For them, eons of existence had passed. I know because I volunteered to also be there. The old Earth did, in fact, experience all the cataclysms, all the scallion predictions of gloom and doom, and the total scarcity of man that was left, and how men became eaters of men, and all the most horrible things that you can find. A comet came, caused huge devastation. It all happened. It happened on the old Earth. Everybody that is here listening to our voice lived on the new Earth that went in an ascension through the sun, because all civilizations have always ascended through the sun. But it actually took the whole planet with it. So the planet actually ascended while leaving its old physical form behind. And it's that physical form in which all these horrible things, you know, the plagues of Revelation, all the rest of it, actually did take place. The Earth joined us, and I can tell you exactly when it was, because it was then that Mother gave the sacred healing modality of Bel Vas Pata to humanity, and they can look that up on the website, BELV for Victor, ASPATA. She gave Bel Vas Pata, and she gave it to me to initiate first the Ascended Masters in Ireland, and as I initiated them, it was healing the environment, because the old Earth had a trashed environment, and it was in May, I believe. No, it was in August of 2006, that the old Earth joined us again. And, in, you know, one of the groups that stayed behind with her, which is fascinating because they didn't have to. They did it because they loved her, know as Sasquatch or Bigfoot. Beautiful beings.
Wow. Fascinating. But you do speak of a reversal of the poles in your work, right?
Yes, and that is not a physical flip-flop of the Earth as happened there. And, you know, that was actually a problem, because when the Earth joined us, she wasn't aligned with us because she had flip-flopped. So she didn't fully fit in, and it created tremendous static. And all of a sudden, the higher realms couldn't hear me. And I said, what's wrong? We can't hear you, you know. And they would hear me incorrectly, and what is going on? And it's like two lines that weren't lined up, and all of a sudden there was all this static in communication between the levels of light.
Okay. Well, but that was resolved, I take it.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Next question. I think it kind of ties in with this one, though, another angle. Are you claiming that traditional energy work doesn't work anymore? But if so, how come people are still using it with apparent success?
Well, it doesn't work anymore because the cosmic laws change in which diseased energy and healing energy would attract one another. Energy used to have opposites attract, hence all the light workers were attracting these absolute turkeys into their life, and many light workers were physically and energetically attracted into opposite energy homes. It was the way of martyrdom for light to spread itself in the darkest places. But now opposite energies are going to repel. So this would actually cause disease. So Mother has made it that energetic methods of working with healing don't work any longer. You know, the good news is that physically we also are repelling opposite energies, because before this, the light workers with the most refined physicalities were the ones that were attracting and absorbing every little bit of pollution. Like, you know, you can eat healthy food, but what about the pollution in the air or the electromagnetic pollution as you go to get some money at the ATM machine or whatever? They were the most susceptible to it because it was opposite. Now, you know, really, their bodies should be very pure regardless of what they're eating, because they are repelling that which is incongruous with their frequency. However, why it is still working is because a lot of them have faith. And faith is a form of light. And opposite light does help. That's working. So, you know, if there's somebody with disease and you have faith and you see it, visualization, perception, faith, those are all light-based. So you might be practicing something obsolete, but your light-based faith is attracted to that which is faithless, you know, and distorted.
Okay, I'm wondering if you should maybe just get terms like light and energy and matter clear here, just to avoid confusion.
Well,
I mean, opposite light attracts, but opposite matter repels, right?
Correct. So energy and matter, the opposites, are repelling at this point, as of August 2006. I'm humming and hawing just simply because I'm wondering whether to tackle it from the macrocosmic perspective or the microcosmic perspective. And let's take the small picture. Your physical body is obvious. Around it, about an inch and a half to 2 inches out, there is the etheric body. This body contains energy. Its lines of light it's an energetic body. So it has lines, but it is energetic. Around that is frequency, flow of color, which is simply tone made visible. And around that is a linear body, which is lines of light, which is the mental body. As you can see, those are the building blocks of the four lower bodies of man. You know, again, the three higher bodies, again, have something that's light-based, frequency-based, and in fact, what we call the light fibers of the seventh body is not just light. We call it light fibers because they're like little tiny optic fibers, but what they actually are is they are awareness-carrying fibers. But that is what we have. And so they're different building blocks of existence.
Okay, but then my point was rather that when this changed, it meant that suddenly things which previously worked, you know, all of a sudden didn't work anymore.
Yes.
Like, for example, the healing modalities.
Correct.
Based on energy.
And people used to send light and love to the Middle East and whatever, and it used to actually promote chaos because it was rejected. And then as of August of 2006, now it will work. Rogier, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Al Mean experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to lead the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Helmi's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Al Mean's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. And we are now continuing with our show to explore the mystical world we live in. I am Al Mean, and I have with me Rogier. Rogier, where would you like the question to go from here?
Well, we've got one message here. The gist of it, I'll sum up as follows. It's a question, really. How best to view the phenomenon of money, and if it's like a curse or a blessing or neither?
All right. Well, a curse or a blessing or neither. The money that is currently the currency of the earth is simply a denser form of the flow of power of the cosmos. If we see it as such, knowing that it must yield to a higher level of order, to a higher currency, which the currency will be love. But if we know that it will yield, but it will yield when our consciousness lets it, we can stop the love-hate relationship with money that most light workers have. We can love money instead, not for what it is per se, but for the freedom that it can provide us. The freedom to enhance not only our own life and that of others around us, but the freedom to make others' lives better as well. It gives us the freedom to see the world, and unless we have flying capacity of our own, how else would we do it? It enables us to have order and beauty and harmony in our home around us. So it is what it currently allows us to do that should be focused on, not the money itself. It's like loving someone. Let's say a man loves a very beautiful woman and he wants to have sex with her. It's not her body only that he is to see. It's not the money only we are to see. He is to see the opportunity. The opportunity is to become one with her through entering into her through every chakra and to become as vast as the cosmos with her and see all of life through her perspective. That is to truly start to know the mystery of another. And when one loves somebody, you want to include as much of what they are in that love as you can. Each time you can see a little further and a little further and include a little more of the vastness of the being you are with within you. The opportunity of that is not offered anywhere else. And it can only be done through love when the heart is open and when the mind sees the true identity of her. So it's what it offers. It's not the body alone. It's not the money alone that says, oh, we're rich or we're powerful or we're this or that. It's what it gives.
Okay,
so,
but then...
A great blessing.
Okay, but then... And if you... But if you take the perspective the way... the way it could be used for control, and especially now how it seems to be... used to sort of generate fear as well. What is to say about that side of the equation?
Well, you can take something like fire. It can be used as a tool for ill.
Yes.
It is magnificent and gives warmth and light and holiness to every little gathering. Much of what is out there can be used as a tool for ill in the hands of somebody that is exclusive. But there is less and less of those people around as we continue to focus firmly on the distant horizons and continue to raise the cosmos.
Okay, good answer. We have time for another question now?
Yes, we do.
Okay. What is the dream body and what is its function?
The dream body was not always able to move freely when the physical body slept. It was multiple cycles of life ago when we were possibly about at the bottom of the barrel of descension, when finally Mother herself, who had descended into forgetfulness with her children in order to be able to bring them back out of that tailspin. Mother herself was able to, for the first time, figure out that when her dream body could move freely, that there was much good she could do at night that she could not do physically during the day. And because of that, all beings started to be able to utilize this etheric, which is the energetic part of them. It's an energy body. So we speak often about light bodies. The dream body, in fact, is an energy body.
Okay. Interesting. I didn't know that. What is the Toltec way? When and where did it originate? And do you speak of the same thing as in popular books on Toltec spirituality?
Well, the books on Toltec spirituality may or may not reflect the fact that 90% of the Toltec Way became entirely obsolete in one fell swoop in August of 2006 when the laws of existence changed. So I do not know who is out there that is aware of that. The changing way of the Toltecs we have discussed in the Ring of Truth. And in fact, I think it's on our 11th show on Windows into Eternity that we also spent quite a bit of time discussing those major changes that have happened amongst the Toltecs. The Toltec Way was itself designed by the Mother of All Life to deal with adversity as a stumbling block and to turn it into stepping stones. It was designed in its old format to turn the unknown into the known through experience and often through painful experience. It embraced challenge as crystallized insight, waiting to yield itself to its vision, to the ability to see behind the appearances. Growth now is not through adversity. It is through mutual support. And the purpose of life has changed from turning the known into the unknown through experience. It has changed because there is no more unknown. The portions of Mother's being that she did not know whether they were hers or not, she has identified. The unknown now is not illusion that she's trying to understand. But the unknown noun now is how much can she express that which she is? How many more ways can she be joyous or pure or honest or creative or passionate? So those are the types of things that have done. The teachings accomplished what they set out to do, which is to lead us to freedom. You know, but the threats associated with the illusion we faced before have disappeared, and Toltecs very much changed. They were warriors against illusion, which no longer exists. The very word Toltec comes from the Lemurian word Ta'alteca, meaning practitioner of inclusiveness. So in addition to the duty of assisting others to remove illusion and obtain freedom, the Toltec Nahuals, as a specific lineage of mystics, practiced inclusiveness. So the whole new era that's been ushered in is one of inclusive love, and it is exactly what they live, so they should feel very much at home in it.
Right, but then the Toltec way originated in Lemuria?
No, it originated from Mother, when the Earth was as yet not even in the star system. It is ancient beyond belief. The oral traditions of the Toltecs go back millions of years. They go into what they call the motherland and the seven root races there. But the point is that the history keepers of the cosmos, and the folks can read it in the second half of The Gift of the Unicorns, have clearly stated that Mother prepared it for herself and others when she could see that forgetfulness would soon be almost complete. And the Toltec tradition was designed, you know, not only to map the way through the unknown, but to utilize it as a growth mechanism. And so it originated from Mother, in part, to preserve the masculine grid in all its integrity. She knew that power mongers would attempt during the cycles of the fall to disrupt these grids, which are lines of light that tell groups beings how to live, and the information that flows along them. And for this reason, the Toltec Way was given as the impeccable way to work with power. It provides a way to harness energy and increase perception by turning the unknown into the known through experience. So, you know, its primary purpose changed, and its tenets and philosophy became obsolete as the unknown in terms of illusion ceased to be. But the external source of power and perception which is the external opposition that had necessitated an external form of warriorship, which was masculine in nature, and it was therefore part of the masculine grid. The new form of warriorship is feminine, it's internal. Since there's nothing external to protect against, nor are there exterior portions of the unknown. So because the new creation studies the known has now, as I said, you know, taken on a whole new meaning. It tells us how the known should be applied and expanded. So this is why the Toltec Way has to be rewritten, and we study the new feminine warriorship, which is what my book, The Ring of Truth, does. Here we are on to our third commercial break, so bear with us. We'll be right back.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We have about 6 minutes left of our show. Until next week, when we hope you will definitely join us again on the mystical world we live in. So I think we have time for one last question, Rogier. What do you think?
All right. We have one more question, actually, about Lucifer. There's a lot of spoken of always of Lucifer's rebellion in the heavens and this and that. But the question really is, who was he and how did he come to influence man, especially since you don't seem to attach so much importance to him as other metaphysical authors have done?
Well, first of all, in the history of the cycles, it gives the information that during times when there was a major chaotic descension, that Mother created Lucifer and his host, confined and sealed them in the underworld so that they would embody the chaos so it wouldn't spill amongst humanity and the rest of the cosmos. At that time, and there were other underworlds and other planetary systems, but Lucifer was particular to the Earth, and the Earth has always been the pivot point for events in the cosmos for multiple reasons, which we can discuss another show. But she created him and confined him. Lucifer, then, that did immediately raise consciousness, and it was in part responsible for what created an upsweep that turned the very far downward plunge of descension into ascension. However, Lucifer is so minor compared to the six major perpetrators that through the years their story has unfolded. It's just unbelievable how dark they were with their deeds. And Lucifer is a pea in an ocean compared to what they did. And of those six, Thoth was one of them. And, you know, totally has fooled humanity through the ages, making himself seem benign and so forth. Those dark gods, there were four dark gods and two dark goddesses, were very, very major in the part they played in the descension, the harm they did to creatures everywhere. Even when the illusion was solved, there was no reason for them to embody that. They would not let go of their power-mongering and their self-seekingness. So Lucifer and his hosts, they were part of what was on the... There was part of what was left behind in the old world that we spoke of in, I think it might have been our previous show, but when the old Earth was left behind, where a lot of catastrophes happened, and then it later joined us in August of 2006. Lucifer and his hosts, I know that there were at least 60 of them there, but after that, there were only 600 of them left that had actually made it during the ascension, and they made it into the realms of man. How many of them managed to survive and hold on to that growth through the ages, you know, as we have been ascending, because we have lived many ages for the rest of the cosmos since 2005, I don't know that. So I don't know how many of them today have survived. I know that as this demon of the underworld, there are no more underworlds anywhere. Believe me, because Mother sent me through every single underworld, let's try this again, every single underworld in the cosmos. And what I experienced there, I had to release these seeds of light. And so some of these demons made it into higher underworlds and eventually actually into population, but I don't know how many survived to this day. I only know that Lucifer and his hosts are no more, and that they are small compared to the real perpetrators of the cosmos. So we have come to the end of our show, and Ruchir, thank you very, very much for helping us, and thank you to our listeners for joining us.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers a question: do mystical creatures like the winged horse, Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.